with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. So we get into all kinds of stuff. We'll have Jim Traber at 9:30, kind of taking a state and a national look at what's going on in the sporting world. We'll focus locally as basketball season not over yet with the Merritt Oilerettes in the 2A state tournament. We'll tell you where they play, when they play, who they play. Coming up, also the rest of the 2A through 4A brackets have been released. Some other teams from around the area will be participating as well. We'll wrap up the A and B state tournaments. What a day on Saturday. Historic day on Saturday when you look at the way that those games finish and the point spread in all four games set a record there on Championship Saturday inside the Big House. We'll break down those, tell you what happened in all four of the championship games. Also, a schedule change in Elk City Baseball coming up right off the top of the show. We'll tell you about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in, 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things with three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV as well, and, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check it out on KADSAM.com or iTunes. Go to iTunes. You can subscribe. And you will be alerted when a new podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
Good morning.
Man, real quick, off the top, let's do Elk City Baseball. There's been schedule changes.
Oh.
You know, a lot of times when they start the district schedule, they'll play Monday and Tuesday, one home game, one away game. That was supposed to happen this week with Woodward. Instead, that's not going to happen. So the Woodward district games today at Ackley Park will be varsity doubleheader. So both of the district games will be played today right here at Ackley Park starting at 4:30.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So a varsity doubleheader today at Ackley. And then tomorrow it'll be the JV doubleheader also at Ackley. Both of those will start at 4:30. So two varsity games at Ackley Park today with Elk City and Woodward. Two junior varsity games tomorrow at Ackley Park against Woodward. Both 4:30 starts. For Elk City Baseball. So we got that out there. We'll continue to hit that as we move along, but that's a little bit of a change. I think the game is supposed to be actually at Woodward today and the follow tomorrow here. And so I'm not sure what the reason is. I just know that's happening. So doubleheader today. Go out and enjoy some baseball with the Elks 2-0 on the season.
Yeah.
16-7 win over Altus on Saturday. So varsity doubleheader today at 4:30 at Ackley Park against Woodward. JV doubleheader tomorrow at 4:30. At Ackley Park against Woodward. Man.
I wonder if it's a weather thing with their fields.
I would assume it's probably something like that.
With what Elk City has.
Yeah, I got
that. Pretty good. So.
I got that text kind of early evening last night from J-Mac, so I would assume it's got something to do with that or, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
or maybe it's just going to be a little bit warmer here. It's not, you know, just a little bit further south.
Still going to be in the 40s, but. At least the sunshine is out. Sun is out.
Yeah. It's not too breezy either, thank goodness. So that could be really cold. So that is what's going on there for Elk City Baseball today and tomorrow. Man,
change
what?
Change is welcome as long as it's not canceled.
What a weekend. You know.
We had a weekend?
I'll be honest with you. It really was just Saturday because it was disappointing. On Thursday, the four I saw, there was one decently close game.
Yep.
Then a Friday in the semifinals for A and B. Roth Fort Cobb was good. Tushka Hydro Weekly Boys was good. Outside of that, it was blowout city. But it set up what was a record-breaking day on Saturday. And all four of those games were fantastic right out of the chute. It was the game that had been 6 or 7 years in the making in my mind, with Sealing versus Hydro Weekly in the Class A girls state title game. Those two have played at the Big House before, played in the 2019 championship game. But that year, it was the height of the Sealing dynasty, finishing off four in a row with the Gore Twins versus freshman Berkey Twins.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it was kind of, it wasn't necessarily apples to apples. Then last year in the semifinals, it was junior Berkey Twins against some freshmen for Sealing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then now this year, with the Berkey still there, Sealing getting a little bit more, getting some freshmen turned into sophomores, some eighth graders turned into freshmen, and a few seniors mixed in there. It was kind of good on good, like the game we wanted to see for all these years. Like, it had been great to see that Hydro team against this Sealing team with the Gores. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
We never were able to get that until this year. And, man, it was just incredible, right? I mean, the action in that game, up and down. It wasn't always the most well-played game. A lot of that is due to how good both of those teams are defensively.
Right.
And they get up in you and they guard you and you make you play you faster than you want to. Even as fast as those teams are used to playing, they kind of got sped up faster than even they wanted to play at times by the other one. But it came right down to the wire. And the theme to me of the afternoon session anyway was dads and their kids.
Yes.
Not only on the floor in both kinds of uniforms, playing ones, coaching ones, and officiating ones, at least in that first game, with our man Leland going out with his son Zach right there by his side.
Yeah, that's
you know right. what I mean?
That's right.
And so if you didn't watch, the score was 46-45. Hydro Weekly had a one-point lead. And head coach of Sealing, Brady Hamer, his freshman daughter, Tegan, got fouled, went to the line to shoot the 1-1 with like 18 seconds left. Down one, by the way. And the possession before, she had missed the front end of the 1-1 with Sealing up a point. Hydro Weekly got a bucket to take the lead. So fresh off a miss on the 1-1, she gets fouled, goes back to the line for the 1-1, down one, makes them both. And then Sealing gets a stop. Ariana Whetstone gets the rebound, which that's something that seemed to happen throughout the day.
She was big.
And the Sealing Lady Cats defeated the Hydro Weekly Lady Bobcats 47-46. Seventh straight title between the two of those schools. 5 for Sealing, 2 for Hydro Weekly. A lot of times when you get to that moment and you get to those games where there's so much hype, it doesn't live up. That one lived up to every bit of the expectations that anybody had when they saw that those two teams were going at it in the Class A girls state final.
Yeah, I agree. It was a fantastic game, but when it was happening in the moment, I was thinking, this is exactly what I expected. Exactly what I expected between these two programs, and it felt like this was a collision course in the making for the past 4 years, dating back to that game you mentioned earlier and then up till now. And I guess the question remains for me is now, is it back to the beginning of another run for Sealing? Will Hydro get back there? They lose, you know, the Berkey Twins and others. It's going to be a tough go at it for them, but they got a solid program, so I expect them to be continue to play at a high level. But, you know, so who can challenge Sealing in the future? Could it be Hydro? Could it be somebody else? That's what we can expect or look forward to for probably the next three or four more seasons. With the way all that youth you mentioned there for Sealing, they're not going anywhere.
No.
Not at all. Not at all. So who's going to be the
challenger? Yeah,
here you go. Sealing,
wins 3 straight. It's hard.
It's like coming in waves now. Now it's back to the Sealing. And I mentioned at the end of the broadcast, Sealing is back on top. Now who's going to challenge them?
Yeah, good luck.
Hard to see.
Good luck.
It's hard to see anybody doing that right now.
You know, we think about Claver was a senior starter. Shook was a senior starter. But guess what? We didn't say their names a bunch.
Exactly.
The ladies' names we said were sophomore and freshman.
Yes.
Yeah, the Sealing's loaded.
Yeah.
For the time being. Hydro Weekly, you mentioned Berkey Twins. Vickery was a senior. Was York a senior or junior? I think she might have just been a junior. But as far as position for next year, I don't think there's any doubt that ceiling is the team to beat. And I think you may draw a line and have to step down a notch or two before you find somebody. You know, nobody going into the season, at least. Now, who knows what happens between now and then. But as far as sitting here today, going into next season, ceiling's pretty far ahead of everybody else in my mind in Class A girls. The Berkey twins go out, well, a great career. Two golds, two silver balls that they'll take back in the 4 years that they played varsity basketball. But they were denied their third straight state title with that loss, one-point loss to Sealing on Saturday. So, you know, in between games, we're thinking, okay, good luck living up to that, Glencoe and Roth.
Right.
And it did. It was almost the same way. Roth had a seven-point lead with like 5 minutes to go, and Glencoe just chipped away. Roth missed a couple of bunnies, contested shots at the rim, but shots that, looking back, changed the game. You know, there were two buckets, one from Reed, and I think the other one was from Baldridge, that if it goes in, you still kind of keep Glencoe at arm's length. Even though they're making the run at you, you're still answering. Neither one of them went. And shockingly, the situation was exactly the same in this game as it was the game before, except for less time. Jake and Whedon went to the line, down one, shooting the 1-1. Oh, by the way, his dad was the coach of Glencoe, one of 18, which I've got something to say about that too. But Jake and Whedon, coach's son, at the line, down 1-1-1. He made them both with 6.8 seconds left. Reed got off a three from about, I don't know, 8 feet behind the three-point line. Dead on line, he just short. It hit the front of the rim. And so Glencoe wins their fifth title. And the story of the morning was coaches' kids making free throws to win state titles.
Which is unreal. I mean, it was unreal to see the two finals, the two first games in like that, in that manner. Close games. But the identical storyline of the coach's kid winning it for dad coach, that's unreal. And you can't even write that script. You can't even dream that script up. You think, oh, that's too easy of a dream storyline to write up. But it happened. It's awesome to see.
It was. It was awesome. What wasn't awesome is the way that a guy that shouldn't have acted like he acted. A guy that won three state titles, Lazenby. Come on, bro. Did you see that? It was a hideous display.
I was more focused on the players, but I saw some of it.
Hideous.
But I'll let you tackle that one.
Hideous display of lack of sportsmanship. After jumping on the pile, he runs straight over to the Roth crowd and is giving it to him. An assistant coach.
Oh, that guy.
The long-haired guy.
The long-haired guy. Yeah.
And I heard some other things about going through the line, the handshake line. I can't guarantee, you know, I can't substantiate. I saw what he was doing with my own eyes on the other stuff.
I saw that.
But I saw, you know, it's one thing to go over to your crowd.
Pointing at a ring,
Yeah, but I mean, that was at least to his crowd.
Yeah.
But he immediately jumped up off the pile and ran to the other side, to the Roth crowd, and was giving it to them. An assistant coach. I mean, come on. You got to do better. Especially a guy that was that successful. Those rings on your finger are doing the talking. You don't need to do it for yourself.
Right.
You had nothing to do with that.
That takes away from what this weekend's about.
It does.
The
100% agree.
What is so cool about this weekend is the small school aspect of it all. It's about playing for your town and in your team and your teammates and your coaches. It's not about – it's kind of what I said a couple weeks ago. It's not about rooting against a team and acting like that, acting a fool like that. You know, I have no problem coming over to your crowd and pumping up your crowd.
100%.
Because it's your crowd. It's your hometown. You're playing for your town.
Correct.
You know, the whole town's probably there watching.
That's right.
But don't go to the other town or the opposing team. That's ridiculous.
And went there first.
He went – that's ridiculous.
It wasn't great. But outside of that, though, the storyline was awesome with Whedon knocking down those free throws as the coach's son. For Roth, Heartbreak Hotel, 2 years in a row in the state final. You know, last year against Varnum, Joplin hit the backboard in the rim on a half-quarter to win the title in regulation. Then they got beaten overtime. Then this year, Dylan Reed comes up just a little short of a game winner after those free throws went down. So Coach Johnston – and the Roth Tigers, You know, I think he said in the pregame that was the sixth straight season that they played in the state championship game between baseball and basketball. So, you know, they're used to getting there, but we're unable to hoist the goal ball either time on the basketball floor. So then, you know, then you take the break from the morning session to the evening. You're like, man, there's no chance these can live up.
Yeah.
Tough break.
We're already exhausted at that point. Just you know, it's funny how watching a game like that can tire you out.
I promise you that at the end of that first game, the ceiling and Hydro Weekly game, I was sweating through my clothes. It was so intense. So then we get to Pittsburgh and Lomega, Class B girls, and it continued the roll. It was a game that both teams kind of made runs at each other. I thought one of the couple of moments in that game was one, the logo three at the end of the third quarter from Kate and Graham that tied it at 42.
Yeah.
And then the response from Pittsburgh again when Lomega put four straight on the board in the fourth quarter. They went on a 10-0 run. Created a six-point advantage that they never relinquished from there. And Pittsburgh was able to beat Lomega. The difference in the traditions of those two schools was unlike anything I can remember. Pittsburgh had never won a state tournament game in three tries going into this year. Of course, the Lady Raiders think it was their 35th appearance. They won 15 titles. 14 is Lomega, one is Omega. So we're going to go ahead and give them that one too. And it'd been runner-up like six times. I mean, it was just like – it was David and Goliath as far as tradition, but Pittsburgh was able to pull it out, and they win their first state title in school history, any sport. And Coach Jensen and that team will be back as they went 30-0. They lose one senior, so I said on the at the end that
you've already calling next year's
just like Ceiling and Hydro Weekly.
Yeah,
after that semifinal game last year. I said here, that's going to be the finals next year. And it was. I'm going to call it right now.
You're doing it.
Pittsburgh and Hammond will play for the Class B girls state title next year.
You know,
it'll be a rematch of that semifinal.
Yeah,
they
got revenge on their mind, sure.
They will have that. They will have that revenge, at least that fire on their side. But and that's discounting Lomega. Probably shouldn't do that, as they were denied their third straight title. Coach Llewellyn's he's a fixture in the state title game, win or loss. He's there.
No offense to him, but during the pregame interview, you just sounded like, oh, I'm here again. Here I am.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm here.
He's just so used to it.
Yeah.
You know, he's excited, but he's figured out a way to kind of keep his emotion to check differently than some of the others. But congratulations to Pittsburgh. First state title in any sport. I mean, you want to talk about being legends in your town.
Yes.
All-time legends will be that team.
Yep.
And then the Class A boys, the final game of the night. All that it resulted in was, at the time we thought it was the first unranked boys team to ever win the title. I've seen since that maybe that 2000 Fort Cobb-Broxton team wasn't ranked going into the playoffs.
Okay.
So either first or second unranked team in the history of boys basketball to win a state championship, as Tushka knocked off Garber 48-43. They got way ahead. Their man Jeff Mackey got in foul trouble. Garber caught up. Mackey got back on the floor. They increased the lead. Then he got in foul trouble. And then he kind of had to play with four fouls, which allowed Garber to kind of pound it inside against him. He really couldn't play defense all that much, like late fourth quarter, trying not to foul out. But Tushka was able to make the plays down the stretch. They beat Garber 48-43. To earn their first title since 1948, just the second in school history. Jeff Mackey, 6'7", senior for Tushka, 13.7 rebounds, 4 blocks.
Hey, you know what?
Awesome while he was out there.
Yeah, hey, I was told we were saying it wrong the whole time. The H is silent.
No, the guy calling their games from Tushka.
I don't know why
said Tushka. I asked him.
Okay. I said that. I said, I think there's a guy up there that told us it was pronounced Tushka.
I mean, he literally was an athlete at Tushka.
This person was like, no, it's Tushka. Tushka.
Negative.
So, well, nobody blew up our phone that we were doing it wrong.
Somebody
on
should tell.
Night.
I can't remember if it was Josh, Jason, something. It started with a J.
Yeah.
He was calling it Tushka.
Well.
And he's from there.
Yeah.
He played there.
I know you checked. I just, someone came with me yesterday. I was like, ah. I think we checked with somebody.
I mean, I asked the guy that was calling their games. Because I thought it was
I always
Tushka.
Go by, if nobody is texting us saying you're saying it wrong, you're doing it wrong, the score is wrong, something like that. Nobody blew up our phone, so I thought we were doing good. Guess we were right the first time.
That's just what I was told.
There you go.
I'm going to pass that along.
Yeah, man, Mackie was awesome.
He was, awesome.
I saw early in that one what he was doing, and I had in my mind, if he continues to do that, they're going to win this game as far as shutting down Garber's Chester.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal playing defense against that guy. I've never seen that guy shut down like that.
We've seen him for 3 years, Tydonte Chester, going right through people. He was actually fading away, trying to get the ball up and over Mackie by the time that game was over.
He didn't want that contact at the end of the game.
Which is really weird.
It was odd.
So the wrap of the A and B state tournaments. By the way, the four games, the final scores, it was a 9-point spread combined in the differences. 2 1-point games, a 2-point game, and a 5-point game. That 9-point spread is leaps and bounds the closest for four Class A and B title games on a single state championship Saturday. 1982, it was 17.
Hard to think we'll ever see something like that again.
Oh, I know.
I know you never know, but that it's one of those situations you don't know you saw history until you left.
And but you felt like it probably was, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, man, that was a great day.
I felt very satisfied leaving. I was like, wow.
Right.
Four games like that on a Saturday, how lucky am I? You know? But on the drive home, you get a lot of time to reflect, thinking, man, I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that again.
It was a great, great day.
How and fortunate were we?
Yeah, to be there. First three games had either game winners or a shot to send it into overtime.
Yeah.
All three missed, you know, and the defensive stops ruled the day.
And I mentioned this at the tournament, somewhere between the games. The whole weekend was a blur, so forgive me if I even forget what days I said this. But it would have been all four teams were there, and that's great, but none of them were Paragon schools. We've had a year where we had a lot of – one year we had how many Paragon schools in the finals?
Three.
Yeah. That
2020.
That was a fun day. But it would have been cool to have another day like that, you know, if that was – you know, some local schools involved. And we'll get that back to that, you know, and bring home some hardware. That would have been cool because it would have added to the drama for our sake, you know, for our broadcast. It would have added to it because we would have been more invested into hoping this team wins over this team. And but it, I guess on the other side of it, it was cool not to have allegiance to anybody. We were just fans calling those games and having fun doing it.
That's right. Yeah, it's totally different. For me, it would have been a totally different day. It would have been like the 20. I'd just been sitting there watching. And like,
oh, yeah,
taking it all in, like, around you. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. when you're on the mic, you see what's on the floor. You know what's happening, but you're not as in tune to everything around you. And when you're not, and you can kind of people watch a little bit more and see exactly how it was going.
Yeah.
But, a great day, no doubt about it. Merritt Oilerette, speaking of close games, they were able to eke out a 50-49 win over Riverside. That game did not start well for Merritt. I think it was 16-2 at one point. When I checked the app to see what the score was, they come back and they win 50-49. So the Oilerettes, and we'll talk more about this as we move along. So I know we got to get to Jim. But the Oilerettes in the 2A state tournament, first time they've made the state tournament since 2010. They will play number 2 Pecola on Thursday at the Big House. Cool thing, the first round games for 2A through 4A, all at the Big House.
Yeah.
I didn't see
in fact,
the
all
days.
Of 2A is in is
Yeah,
in the
all
big
of
house.
2A ends up being in the Big House. All of 4A ends up being in the Big House. 3A gets Friday out over at UConn High School. But it'll be Tuesday for 4A, Wednesday for 3A, Thursday for 2A as far as the first round games, and then all the semifinals will be played on Friday, and 4A and 2A all in the Big House throughout the day, throughout the entire tournament. So the Oilerettes get Pecola 10:30 on Thursday. We'll have it covered, Paragon TV and radio somewhere, probably right here. It's where they've been all year long.
Yeah, why not?
Just like in the other turn, just like in A and B, we can't video in the Big House. We can't video anywhere for the state tournament, actually. So it'll be a radio-only broadcast. We'll have the scoreboard up there like we did this weekend. That way, for one, we don't have to run it. And it's cool because sometimes you see some different things up there that you don't see throughout if it was just on the radio. So you can listen to Paragon TV and also, I'm sure, right here on KADS. So congratulations, Coach Doherty and the Merritt Oilerettes. They made it that extra step. You know, they got beat in the area consolation final a year ago down in Chickasha by Latta. Hennessy was the right place to be this year for the Oilerettes. knocking off Riverside 50-49.
It's great.
Back to the 2A state tournament for the Merritt Oilerettes. The Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. We've got that set up on the website there, on ESPN's website. We'll put a link on our Facebook page. Come join us. Our group is Skinny on Sports 2022. Motto is People for Property. That's Western Oklahoma Realty's motto. Visit them for all your real estate needs. Tyler and Robbie down there at Western Oklahoma Realty. Just go sign up. The brackets will be released a week from yesterday. Joining us now is the voice you're going to hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. It's the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. How's everybody out there in Western Oklahoma?
Doing good. It's a little bit cooler than I would like it, but at least the sun's shining and all the ice and stuff has kind of moved on out of the area.
Cold yesterday, man. Cold. Yeah.
You can't prepare yourself, and it happens in this state all the time, but you just can't prepare yourself for like a 45-degree change in the temperature from one day to the next. Your body's not used to being able to do that.
We got another couple of days, I think, this week's going to be cold, too. So.
Yeah, Friday's supposed to be.
I'm getting tired of it. The older I get, the worse it is.
Tell us about your experience. Was it yesterday that you were out learning how to shoot
Saturday,
a crossbow?
Saturday.
It was Saturday, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool, man. Jeff Danker is just an unbelievable guy. And we went out there to the Backwoods Hunting and Fishing Expo. And I'm just going to let you know that I was so far out of my element I couldn't believe it. But I did get up with that crossbow. They kind of told me how to do it. And I hit the bullseye two times. It was a circle maybe about 6 inches, maybe about 6 inches in circumference. And I got two shots at it from about 30 feet maybe. And I hit the bullseye both times. And Julie hit the bullseye both times. But I will say this, and Julie said I shouldn't say this, but I got to. It's pretty daggone easy. Have you guys shot a crossbow? Either one of y'all?
Yes. Yes.
It's pretty easy. I mean, all you do is line up the daggone dots to where you want to shoot, and then just, you know, kind of hold it steady and then pull. Now, he used a compulsion bow, which is really serious now. I mean, that's when you're pulling it back and holding it, you know, and barely looking through a little tiny hole. I mean, I don't know if I could do that. But with the crossbow, I did well. And Julie did well, too, because Julie's a little country girl. She used to shoot when she was younger. That's the first time I've ever shot anything. And so far, so good. Now, in the fall, they're going to take us out hunting. And I'm going to go with, you know that show that he does, Buck Ventures? I'm sure many people who are outdoorsmen watch that show. And I guess Julie and I are going to be on that show. So my problem is, fellas, I'm way too loud and I talk too much. I mean, I don't think any deer or anybody's going to come anywhere near us. But
here's the deal. The truth of it is they'll have a feeder that goes off at the same time every single day throughout the whole year. And you can come up, you could probably wrestle a deer down to the ground with your hands because they're so tame, because they're so used to coming to eat the corn that spits out of those little feeders every time. It happens out here. I tell those guys, they think they're hunning. It's so unfair. That's not hunting.
Watch your careful just, with they're your just words setting, there.
Now listen,
you're going to get a lot of texts on this one.
No, I've told these guys for years. A bunch of my buddies, they all go hunting, and they all feed the deer throughout the year. It's like, you know what? If you invited me over for a ribeye, and I came and ate it, and then the next day you're like, hey, come eat another one. And they do that for about 2 weeks, and then the next time I just start to walk in and they just shoot me in the face. That's exactly the hunting is like for those guys feeding those deer. It's just sad. It's
I don't know,
real.
Man. He gave a seminar about all the different things that you got to do, man. It was crazy.
Now he may actually hunt. The guys I'm talking about, they don't hunt. They just sit around and wait for him to show up.
So that was on Saturday at the fairgrounds?
Saturday at the fairgrounds.
Man, we were across the street from you. We were over there in the big house watching basketball.
Really? Who were you watching? Anybody doing well from out there in Western Oklahoma?
There was four games in Class A and B, which is the smallest schools in Oklahoma. Four title games on Saturday, and the combined spread between the four games was 9 points. There was 2 1-point games, a 2-point game, and a 5-point game. It was an awesome, awesome day on Saturday there inside the big house. Sealing is a team from kind of out this way. Their girls won. Everybody else was east side of the state.
Okay, very good. Well, I know, is Elk City any good in basketball?
They're out. Merritt's a little school here by Elk City. Their girls are going to be in the state tournament this week up there, starting on Thursday morning at 10:30 at State Fair Arena.
So they Merritt, where that they tell me where that good restaurant is?
That's correct. Yes, it's right down the street.
See,
from
I may have had brain surgery 3 years ago, but every if it's about food, man, I'll remember.
Yeah, it's about a mile south of the school, the Simon's Catch. And we can say that because they're sponsor under their sponsor right here. Oh, no, it's fantastic. But you got to be there, what, Wednesday through Sunday are the only days that they're open. All right, Jim, conference tournament week coming up. I want to start, though, with what happened Saturday. In Cameron Indoor Stadium, Duke trying to wish Coach K a farewell, and it couldn't have gone any better if you're a Carolina fan. How cool do you think it is? We were talking on Friday, you know, when old Gallagher, the last game in there, Oklahoma went in there, and when they were able to upset OSU, Gottlieb still talks about that loss and how much it hurt for that to happen that in that situation. But on the North Carolina side, hasn't been the greatest season, kind of an up and down for Hubert Davis. But to be able to go out like that in Coach K's last game, that's got to be an awesome feeling for the Carolina kids.
Well, I loved it, and I'm not a North Carolina fan. I can't wait for Coach Krzyzewski to go away. He's just not a very good dude. If you know people that have been around him and covered him, ask Barry Trammell. Barry Trammell won't say a bad word about Russell Westbrook. Ask him about Coach Krzyzewski. The guy's a great coach, one of the best of all time, but it was fun to watch him lose. And, you know, it wasn't for nice run of North Carolina. You know, Manek has had a pretty nice year there this year. He's a good basketball player. I thought he was a good basketball player here. People got onto him too much. I didn't really watch a lot of it. I watched a little bit towards the end because, frankly, as you guys well know, college basketball is just driving me up a wall. But it was at least it was a little better basketball. At least they were scoring some points and getting up down the floor. But, North Carolina's got to be really, really happy to be able to end his career with a loss in that arena. Now, we'll see what they do. They are definitely one of the best teams in the country, but I hope that they get knocked out so that I don't have to watch the guy anymore. It's like it's happy for me. No more Tom that's right. Tom Brady talks every single day about he might come back. But no Tom Brady, hopefully, and no Coach K. I'll be happy about both of them being gone.
My question, I'm going to come back here to our state. Oklahoma State first ended their season, but they got that upset win over Texas Tech. Good or bad? I mean, you know, they got the win and everything, but it's kind of bittersweet for them. Can they bounce back next year and produce a better team?
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, first of all, you know, it's bittersweet, but they knew that was going to happen, so. You know, that was kind of like their bowl game. You know, we've talked about that before with teams. That was their bowl game. And they won. They beat a really good team. And frankly, I mean, you know, they had those bad games in the preseason with Oakland and a couple of Xavier and some of these teams. But, I mean, what, they finished fifth, tied for fifth in the league?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's crazy. So that was a really good win for them. Nice way to go out. They're still, I'm sure, upset about it because they'd love to be going to Kansas City and have a chance to make some, you know, do some damage. I'll tell you what now, guys, I don't know about you, but I don't know if OSU is a team I'd like to play right now on a neutral floor. I mean, their defense is just incredible. They can't shoot at all, but when they do make some shots, they can play with just about anybody. I mean, think they beat Baylor, they beat Tech. Those are two huge wins, really. So, decent year, not a great year, decent year in this league, 15-15, you'd like to do better than that, but they got players coming back, if they all do come back. I'm a little concerned that there might be some portals. You know, when you have so many players that play and they don't get enough time and they want to show out to maybe go to the next level, I think you're going to lose some players. Like, I'd be really surprised if Moncrief doesn't go somewhere, and I have no inside information. But I just think Moncrief, I think he's a basketball player, and he barely played this year. So we will see about that, what their team's going to look like. But they, you know, I don't know if Anderson's going to go to the NBA. Who do they lose? I know they lose Likely, right? Is there anybody else? I don't even know.
I think that's about it. As far as just, you know, expected losses, I thought Mike Moynton's comments after the game were pretty poignant, talking about this exact subject with the with the portal and him knowing there's already people sniffing around different guys on his team. What did you make out of those comments that he had after that game?
Well, I would sniff around too. I mean, they got a bunch of athletes, and they don't play enough. I mean, that's just – look, what does every athlete want to do? They want to play, right? That's the number one thing. And I just bring up Moncrief just because he was really good as a freshman but hardly played this year. So, yeah, I would be sniffing around too. I think they'll lose some players. But you know what? It's his job to go out and get some more. It's the way it is. I don't know. It'd be interesting about what Anderson and I don't know. You know, they got some good players on their squad, just didn't play as good as they could all year long. And they kind of ended on a nice little note. So they, I don't know. It's hard to figure out what to call that year. If they were eligible to play, I would say that there would be a threat in the tournament. Now, unfortunately, they're the sixth seed, so they'd be playing the number three. Is that Tech? Tech the three?
Yep, Tech.
Yeah. So I think it'd probably be kind of hard to beat them on a neutral floor. But, you know, OSU fans, there'll be more OSU fans there than Tech fans. Although the Tech fans, boy, they really like their home place up. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's a weird year to talk about. Everybody, including OU fans, know that they got jobs. They got way too much of a penalty. And they've dealt with it in the best way. I haven't heard any stupid things said by anybody. And now they move on to see what they can do next year.
I was going to ask about OU. They've rallied off three in a row. Now they go into the tournament here taking on Baylor. Do these three wins, is that enough to get them in? Do they need to have a good showing in the Big 12 tournament to get into the NCAA tournament?
Now they play Kansas, right?
Baylor.
Baylor.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right, Baylor. Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Look, Baylor's beatable when they don't shoot it, but man, Baylor play tough. They play hard. I think they win that game, they're in. They lose, I think they're out. That's the way I would look at it. I mean, I looked at they're not even on the next four out.
Uh-uh. No.
From Lenardi.
That's right. Yeah, they're you know? They're nowhere to be found with any
yeah,
of that stuff
right.
from Lenardi.
That's right. There's no names at all of OU from. I looked at that this morning and I thought, okay, well, they're not the first four out, and then I saw the next four out, and they're not even in that. So, I don't know. They just had too many losses, guys. I mean, what was it again we talked about? They lost what, 10 of 12 or
it was like 12 of 14? I think it was 12 of 14 before the last three that they were able to win. And the problem with those last three is they didn't beat anybody that is going to
the
tournament.
Problem. Yeah, no, they basically played. And I know I just talked about OSU as the sixth seed, mm-hmm. but they played the three teams in the league that are down there with them. You know, I mean, if they would have had one or two of those wins against a really good team, that might have pushed them up a little bit. But they got to beat Baylor. And frankly, if they beat Baylor, I don't. Do they leapfrog 18 to get in?
Yeah, probably not.
Hard to say.
They need some eggs laid, and they need to win that game, and they might need to beat Tech too. To be able to make sure and get in there. Aaron Rodgers, yeah. was on your radar screen, I imagine, over the weekend as it came out that as his decision looms, your Steelers were one of the teams that he would consider a trade to. What do you think the realistic landing spot is for Aaron Rodgers at the end of this?
Green Bay. I mean, I don't know, man. This whole thing, 2 years ago at this time, fellas, I was a huge Aaron Rodgers fan.
Yeah.
He really has gone down in my book. Now, I'm just letting y'all know, it's not because of what he did with the vaccine. That was bad. They should have probably, you know, punished him a little bit more than that. But I know there's people out there that just hate him now because he said, you know, what he did about the vaccine. I'm so tired of the people talking about the vaccine that I'm just beyond belief. I don't know if you guys heard me this week, but I had a massive brawl with everybody on the station about saying that Kyrie Irving is the most disappointing player in the league. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's just absurd. So, but Aaron Rodgers, man, I just think all he wants to do is just listen and have people talk about him and him talk. And, you know, I don't know what the heck's wrong with the guy. I think he really wants to hear people talk about him. And we are all talking about him. So I think it's going to end up that he's going to stay there, And, you know, probably they're going to do it. I guess they've offered him a long-term deal. But I think he'll stay. I really do. If he doesn't, then what, Denver was on there? Denver on there, too?
Yeah, Denver, the Steelers, and there was one other. I can't. And maybe Tennessee. Maybe it's the Titans.
Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah. Wow, Tennessee. I'll tell you what, if Aaron Rodgers goes to Tennessee, then you better be afraid.
Yep.
Because Tannehill is the reason why this team will go nowhere. And they got just about everything else after they went out and got defensive players in the offseason. So, look, I would love Aaron Rodgers to come to the Steelers. I just know how the Steelers are. I've been a Steelers fan for over 50 years. I know how they are. They don't spend a bunch of money. They'll make, once in a while, a couple years ago, they traded up to get the Devin Bush kid. So they'll make a move here and there, but they're not one of the, they don't make, very rarely do you see the Steelers with some blockbuster move. So I just don't know. I don't think that they're going to do – I don't think they'll do anything, really, except maybe get like a Trubisky or somebody like that, you know, on a lower scale, Jameis Winston, and then try to get a quarterback in a draft. I sure like Malik Willis. That kid looks pretty good. I'd like to take him. I think these quarterbacks maybe aren't as good as the ones that have come out in the last few years, but there's got – one of them's got to be good, fellas. You know that. At least one of them's going to be really good. And it's up to these teams to figure out who it is. I don't know which one it is. Frankly, I think Malik Willis looks pretty impressive. And I'm not going to give up on Pickett just because his hands are small. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And that's not just because my hands are small. I'm not sticking up for small-handed people.
All right, I'm going to give you six names. Actually, five, because I think you think Rodgers is staying. So five other quarterbacks. How many of these change teams? Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Jimmy G, Baker Mayfield, and Kirk Cousins. How many of those five will be on a different team come opening day of the NFL season in September?
Baker Mayfield and Russell Westbrook, I think, are staying. Russell Wilson. I think that Garoppolo and Wentz are gone. I think they're going somewhere else. And what was the last one?
Cousins.
Yeah, I think they got to pay him a lot of money to keep him. I think they probably keep him because you know Minnesota's got a nice roster. So I just think probably he probably stays. That'd be my guess.
How about the guy in the combine this weekend? How about the dude from Georgia? 341 pounds.
Oh my gosh!
And he ran a 3.478.
I watched it like eight times, dude. I just kept watching it over and over again. I had to call Julian and say, "Watch this guy." You know, all the other things that he did, too. That guy, why is he all the way down at the end of the first round?
I don't think he is anymore.
He better not be. I mean, those teams, let me tell you something. If you're in the range of, like, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you need a defensive tackle, dude, I'm in. I mean, that's unbelievable what that guy did. And I know the combine, you know, we tend to look at the combine and hold it against them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, if they're not very good, and then if they do really well, a lot of people say, well, it's a combine. I don't care, man. That was impressive what that guy did. And by the way, the speed at that combine is beyond belief. I mean, just fastest wide receivers ever. Those big guys. My gosh, those Georgia dudes, no wonder they won the daggone championship. Those guys are unbelievable up front. So, yeah, that was there were a lot of impressive things. I have to give it up to myself on a small scale with Jelani Woods. I mean, Jelani Woods looked unbelievable. I mean, here, you know, OSU has this 6'7", 260-pounder, and they don't even give him the ball at all. I'm one of those guys that says I'd rather get the guy, you know, the ball in guys' hands that can move with it. But, my gosh, man, that's a weapon. There's a team out there that needs a tight end. You better take him in the third or fourth round if he's around because – I think at 260 pounds, the things that he can do, I think, are impressive. And he ran a 4.61, so he obviously can run. So yeah, I thought Jelani Woods. I didn't really watch a lot of the running backs. What did Brooks run? I didn't see that.
You know what? I never even found it. I was looking for it Saturday morning because I think they were Friday, and I never even there was all the big guys were the ones that seemed like the receivers, and then the big guys were so impressive. That it was like that's all that was talked about any time that I flipped it on. Man, but another guy from Georgia, you mentioned Georgia. What about Trayvon Walker? If it wasn't for Davis, Trayvon Walker was putting up numbers that were just off the charts at his size.
Well, he only weighed 302, So, you know, instead of 3:47. But he ran faster than him. Yeah, I mean, what I don't understand, and of course I don't know all the ins and outs, but he's a top 10 pick, but Davis is like 30. Some people got him at 31 or 32. I mean, man, okay, I love the other kid, but, man, I'll take the other one. They're just amazing up front. Their team was, no wonder their defense was so daggone good. But they had seven defensive players at the combine, I believe. So really impressive stuff. And you would think Georgia would go down, but they're having big time recruiting classes. So why can't OU or OSU get some kids like that? Perrin Winfrey looked good. I mean, Perrin Winfrey looked good. But, you know, we're sitting here talking about how Perrin Winfrey looked good, and he wasn't even in the same category with those guys.
Yeah, 4.59 for Brooks, by the way. I just got that on our
4.59?
4.59.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, you mentioned Winfrey. Also, Benito put up some pretty amazing numbers. I've heard you talk about this a few times, but with the guys that were there and the performances that they put up from Oklahoma and the amount of guys that were there from Oklahoma, it's still just a truly baffling thing to look back at the season with that amount of talent and the way that defense was completely underachieving.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of baffling, but I'll tell you this, it's not as baffling as to say that I think that coach isn't very good. I'm sorry, I don't think Alex Grinch is what everybody thought he was. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. Obviously, Jim, look what he did at Washington State. But okay, I mean, I'm not saying the guy's a terrible coach. I'm just saying that everybody thought he was going to come here and, like, change the world. And obviously he didn't. He made it a little better. But all those guys up front, I didn't see. What did Isaiah Thomas – did Isaiah Thomas do anything?
He was like 4.69 or something like that. He 4.79. He had a really, really good time for his size, too. They were all pretty impressive, at least in the 40.
What did Benito run at his?
4.54, I think. 4.51, something like that.
Yeah, he's impressive. Yeah, to have those three guys up front along with Redmond, and listen, they had some good linebackers too. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry, man. I'm sitting here. They were 11-2, so it's not like they were horrible. But I just don't think I don't think Grinch got out of the players what he should have. So we'll see what he does out there in USC. We will see.
Last question, as we get ready for the NBA playoffs going down the stretch, the East looks awesome. It looks like a lot like the West usually does. If you had to pick right now, without really knowing the seed yet, who do you favor in the Eastern Conference of the NBA playoffs?
I'm going with Miami. I think the Heat are the team. I know that, you know, the Sixers, everybody's all fired up about the Sixers with Harden and everything. Let's see. They played a couple teams that were terrible defensively. We'll see if they keep going. I'm not convinced of James Harden in the playoffs. He's going to have to show it to me. Boston is really playing well. Obviously, Chicago, nobody talks about. Milwaukee, really good win yesterday against Phoenix. So it's going to be a great playoff. It really is. Notice I didn't even mention the Nets. I just don't think the Nets are going to be there, and I think it's going to be a great, great, great playoff. I can't wait to watch the Eastern Conference playoffs. Western Conference, I mean, Memphis obviously is doing some nice things right now, and Phoenix, I mean, and Golden State just not playing well at all. I still think that they'll be involved, but. Yeah, going to be a good playoff, and hopefully the Thunder can keep playing the way they played this weekend.
It seems to me, you mentioned Milwaukee, but kind of in passing, and it feels like with that big trade, that's where they're – I can't remember a defending champion kind of flying under the radar as much as it feels like the Bucks are.
Well, it's hard to win back-to-back too now, Skinny. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, really hard to win. I mean, I look at the Rams, for instance, going into next year, and I'm like, I think they're probably I think they're the best team. I mean, if they keep some of the people they need to, but boy, it's hard to pick a team back to back. And you know, Milwaukee, they are flying under the radar. Everybody's talking about all these other teams and Philly. Everybody's all fired up about Philly, but they have a chance. There's no doubt. But I think any of those teams have a chance. I don't know about the Celtics. I mean, they're playing really well. I don't know if they can win the East. We'll see, but. I just know that Russell Westbrook finally played halfway decent, so everybody's all fired up. Don't you just love it? The Lakers just game. They're 7 games under 500. They had lost 4 in a row. And they win a game, come from behind on national TV, and the talk from then on is, are they back now? Is this? I mean, is that the turning point? Yeah, that's the turning point. We're getting fired up because Russell Westbrook scored 20 points. Wow, how things have changed, huh?
I enjoyed Thursday night when we got my son and I got back to the hotel after the basketball. We flipped it over on TNT, and that game was ending with the Clippers just beating the Lakers down. And the first thing that Charles Barkley says is, could we please not show them on this anymore? Get them off my cheek. Get them out of here. They're terrible. They're old geezers. Move them on because they have no shot. And I thought that was – it kind of reminded me of you listening to Charles and Shaq. Just disappointed with the way that, you know, Reggie Jackson was dancing around after making shots. And Shaq was like, somebody's got to fight him. Don't let him, you know, it was just, and at the end of the day, it looks like they've kind of resigned themselves to the fact that it's just not happening.
Yeah, well, not according to some people on TV and stuff. They think that could have been the turnaround. So, LeBron was unbelievable. I mean, that's just, you know, Herculean 56 points at that age. But, yeah, they're in trouble. It's pretty funny, though, if you ask me.
What's coming up on the podcast today?
It's really good, man. It's really funny. It's talking about the me shooting the bow and everything. That's part of it. And we did a deal about our biggest fears. What's your biggest fear? So it's a really good one. We got some other great ones coming up too. I've solidified the governor and his wife, so they're gonna do a 2-part series with us. Can't wait to talk to them. And it just keeps growing and getting bigger. So everybody listen to Julian Jim Trevor podcast.
All right, drops this afternoon. The newest edition will be out. iTunes, you can find it anywhere, though, right?
Anywhere, yeah. Spotify, Stitcher. You can even go to sportsanimal.com/Trevor podcast. A lot of great things.
All right, man. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to hear your thoughts at 2 o'clock. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday like you do pretty much every Monday.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much. The Ultimate Jim Traber joining us here on the Skinny on Sports. Good stuff. Hey, one last time. If you weren't with us earlier, Elk City Baseball, the schedule has changed. Today, Elk City and Woodward are going to play a varsity doubleheader, both games here at Ackley Park, starting at 4:30. So just varsity today, doubleheader, 4:30, Ackley Park, Elk City and Woodward. Then tomorrow, same thing, but JV. We'll have a JV doubleheader tomorrow at 4:30, both games here at Ackley Park in Elk City as well. And don't forget, Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge, ESPN's website. Just go to the Bracket Challenge, find the group Skinny on Sports 2022, and take your shot. We'll have some sort of prize worked up by the time we get to the end of that.
We'll always do. We'll figure it out.
All right.
I'm just still wrapping my mind around the fact that Jim was shooting a crossbow, and they actually let him.
I saw the video of it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I need to see that video.
It's on the Instagrams there.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the video. And he did. He's right in. There was like this little circle, and he fired it right in there.
Awesome.
I didn't realize Julie shot it, though. I didn't see that. I just saw him shooting it.
Her, I'm not so much worried about it, Tim. Putting a crossbow in Jim Traber's hands.
I'd like to have seen a video of him trying to pull back the compound bow.
The compound bow? Ooh. That takes some muscle.
Of which I don't have. Everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk more about the Merritt Oilerettes.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.